Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, the question is, I said, the Lord sends rain and sunshine on everybody. He doesn't give the Holy Spirit to everybody. Just asking for clarification. What I mean by that is, That's one of the gifts that you receive when you become a Christian. You get the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is shorthand. When I first wrote this sermon, I had about 4 pages of things that you get when you become a Christian. Gifts that are just for you as God's children and that the world doesn't get. All the riches, you know, in the heavenlies and every blessing and power from God and encouragement and guidance in life and insight. And I mean, just the list just went on and on and on. I got really carried away with it. And I realized, oh, this doesn't fit in my sermon. I got to get rid of all of it. And so I just reduced it all down to the Holy Spirit because that's where it all comes from. It all comes through the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're going to see later on in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus talks about prayer in chapter 7, he says, when your child, he asks for bread, are you going to give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, are you going to give him a snake? And then he says this conclusion, if, therefore, you who are evil give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, that same comment is recorded in Luke. And when it's recorded in Luke, it comes out a little different. Instead of saying, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Which shows us that in one sense, those two are interchangeable. All the good gifts that come from God come through the Holy Spirit. It's all God giving you the Holy Spirit. So that's what I meant by that. The Holy Spirit lives inside you as a believer. He does not live inside non-Christians. They don't have the Holy Spirit, which means they don't have illumination, they don't have enlightenment, they don't have regeneration, they don't have all the things that the Spirit works in you. Guidance, they don't have it. The question, basically, what causes people to be disobedient to these kinds of commands? For example, you walk into a church and people treat you like you got leprosy or something. That basic question is, why is there disobedience? And the answer why there's disobedience is because we're this side of heaven. We still have the flesh. We still have the devil. We all have sins we're struggling with to overcome. And that fight goes on the whole life. That's why we all disobey. Some of us disobey in ways that some others don't disobey. And those others can't understand. Why can't you at least obey in those areas? Because those areas are easy for me. And yet this person's disobeying in some area where it's easy for this person. And so we need to. That's why we don't condemn each other, is because we realize we're all tempted in different areas. But I would just caution you, when you walk into a church and people treat you like you have leprosy, be a little careful with that, because it might be that those people are just unloving and they're not greeting even their friends, much less their enemies, and so they're being disobedient. That's one possibility. But there are other possibilities. Most of the time when that happens, I think the answer is they're just distracted and they're not really avoiding you or looking away from you. In fact, they may love you dearly. They just there's something else in their mind. And I'm coming to defense of people that do that, because I'm probably the biggest offender. I walk around here on Sunday morning, I'm so distracted, I'm thinking, where's my sermon? I can't find my notes. I've got to do with the carpets are stained from the rain, and I got all this stuff going on, and I shouldn't be this distracted, but I am. And as hard as I try, inevitably, I got people saying, oh, I got to make things right with you, Daryl. I don't understand why you're so angry, but whatever I did, I'm so sorry. And it's like, what? Where's that coming from? And I guess I had some huge frown on my face when I saw him. I didn't even know. So a lot of times it's not intentional. It really is. They're just distracted with something. And the solution is just, people aren't loving you, love them. Love them. People aren't greeting you, you greet them. And don't worry about how they, you know, the more we worry or concern ourselves with policing people's love for us, the more miserable we'll be, guaranteed. And there we have people that come and visit the church sometimes, and I can tell sometimes within 5 minutes they're not going to last here, they're not going to last anywhere, because they come with all these stories about, oh, the last 12 churches I was in, man, they were so unfriendly. And what they're doing is they're going from church to church looking for people to love them and be warm to them and greet them and be nice and invite them. And they're just on the lookout for this. And when you're on the lookout for it, you're always going to notice people that fail to do it, and you're always going to be disappointed, and you're never going to be happy. You're always going to be miserable. The only way you're going to be happy is if you just throw all that out and say, I'm going to go into a church and love those people. I don't care what they do to me. That's between them and God. My responsibility is to love them. These are children of God. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I will greet them. They're distracted. I'll help them shake out of it, and because I'll give them a greeting so warm and so loving that they can't resist it. And I will show love to them. I will invite them to my house. I won't worry about if they invite me anywhere. And I'm going to just show love. That's the attitude that will bring joy into your life. Policing people's love towards you is going to bring misery into your life, guaranteed. Janae? It seems like a contradiction when you say, God, I trust you to make things right, to bring whatever punishment is just, and I'm also asking you to have mercy. That seems like a tension. Okay, it is a tension. And I think the only way to resolve it, of course, is in Christ. The only mercy God can possibly give the person is in Christ. If the Father gives a punishment to Christ on the cross in that person's place, that's the only way there can be any mercy. And so, and that comes through, you know, that's God's decision. The great thing about appealing to God for justice or mercy, either one, is you never have to worry about the right balance. You let Him take care of that. It's like crying out to God for wrath. God, punish this sin. Or God, show mercy. And one, you might change from hour to hour. Your heart moves towards mercy and your heart moves towards justice. The great thing about praying is you never have to worry about God messing up. He'll get it right. It's like saying to a cook, you know, I want a dessert. Make it sweet. I want it sweet. Well, if it's a really good cook, now you don't want to say that to someone like me. You know, I'll take a pound of sugar, dump it in, it'll taste terrible. I won't get it right, but you say to a really good cook, just make just something sweet. They'll bring out the tastiest. They'll get it just right. And they might put a little salt in there. You never know what they'll do. They don't know how they do what they do, but they make it taste good. And if you say, oh, make it crunchy, make it this, make it that, they'll make it right. And they'll listen to you up to a point, and then they'll get it right from there. And that's what God does. That's the great thing about God. So we can just cry out in our hearts, Lord, I trust you for justice. Lord, have mercy. And then just let him and trust him. He's going to do it just right. That's the blessed thing about prayer. Jeff, go ahead. That's a good point. If you didn't hear that, sometimes when people don't greet you, they look away. You give them a friendly greeting, they look away. Sometimes your reaction is, oh, that's how it's going to be? That's how we are? Okay. See if I smile at you again. That's how it is sometimes. But other times it's not like that. It's not that you're angry or anything. It's just that it hurts you to be rejected. And you don't want to experience that again. So you're not going to risk it again. Again, the solution to that is to look to God for everything we need, not to people. And so we say, God, I get that person rejected me. You accept me. And let that person's rejection just be a memory cue to rejoice in God's accepting you. And then you can, and that ends up being all you need, and it empowers you to just be rejected, risk rejection again and again and again, and you can handle it because you, every time it makes you think of your success.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.